Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay.
Puffcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Puffcast.
Well, here we are, the Puffcast.
Yay.
Got all hooties for some... Here we are, Woo. The Puffcast. This is the fabulous Adam Richard. I've got the outrageous Scott Brennan. And
hello.
There's the punctual Toby Sullivan.
Don't let loose lips sink ships, Jerry's. What did I say? What drag? Just came out of fucking...
I'm late, chaps.
You're not doing it with your heart.
No, my heart's not in it. But you know, it's no time for catchphrases. Here we are on the fresh air of Kyneton.
We are.
The fresh air of regional Victoria.
It's lovely out here.
Victoria, and it's lovely here
park.
In the Kyneton Caravan Park, because where else would you go in the country but to a caravan park? But
exactly.
Before we push on, we should update.
I mean, look at their role models. You know, you've got Britney Spears and her shaved head. Lindsay Lohan looks like something out of Lord of the Rings.
Sports news. Dozens of top AFL players have launched a campaign to promote tolerance of homosexuality.
Aww.
In the print campaign, the players are seen holding signs condemning homophobia.
Mm-hmm.
However, it has been revealed that being professional football players, most of them couldn't actually read the signs and thought they were advertising home loans.
One never knows when the homosexual is about.
Puffcast.
Oh, dear. Now it is time for Gay to Zed, and I know several of our subscribers are going to be excited by this one,
yes.
Because we have gone a little bit, you know, we did start off a little bit sexual, but we've been a little bit social the last couple of weeks. So
let's lower the bar.
Yeah.
You know, the trouble is the bar far
let's
too high.
Lower the bar right to eye height if you're on your knees in the toilet.
For the letter G.
For glory hole.
For glory hole.
If you don't know what a glory hole is, it's... You know, sometimes you go to a toilet with a concrete wall and a bit's been dug out, but they haven't quite got through to the other side yet.
It's not because there was a prisoner locked in there trying to escape.
It's not for ventilation.
No.
It's the hole between the walls and the toilets is to stick your cock through.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the another aspect of the sheer gay man's will to power.
Yes.
I want a head job and I'm not going to let... A little thing, like a concrete wall, stand in my way.
We really are just breaking down barriers, aren't we?
It is the world's biggest source of renewable energy.
Yeah.
If you could harness the gay desire for a gobby, power stations would shut down.
That is
ultimately renewable.
That has always fascinated me. The tenacity...
Who has the cordless drill?
Yeah, to get through to the other side of the wall.
Maybe
Or is someone just there trying to fuck it?
I don't know. Maybe
until it relents, like Hannibal melting the fucking Alps.
It's like erosion. Every gay man who goes in there just scrapes it, and over centuries, a hole will form.
I'd always presumed it was kind of like some sort of, you know, indigenous gay dreaming.
In the
beginning of time, the fag went to the toilet and then the serpent came and smashed a hole.
It's erosion. It's like the, you know, the 12 apostles. That was just a bunch of gay men wanting really big dildos and they just striked it. And yes.
It is bizarre.
Who knows where they came from, but they're there.
They are there.
The fact of life.
And the basic thing is you stick your doodle in or, you know, someone on has
the
stuck
other
their doodle
side.
In and you pleasure them.
You fructate it.
Fructate.
I just made that word up.
That's a new word.
You know, you give them a gobby or, you know, you let them into your deep cavern of love.
Sounds like a Pink Floyd album.
You let them bum you off or,
But
it is that weird thing of like, what is it with gay men? I'm sounding like Seinfeld now. What's the deal with gay men just sticking their dick in anything and hoping to God there's something? They don't really. Well, you wouldn't care what's on the
Well, I guess if you're in a, you know, if you're in a toilet and you're really that way inclined, it kind of you get to the point where it doesn't really matter anymore. It's just like I just want a cock.
Right.
That's it, you know, just port in a storm.
I think you're looking at this from the wrong angle. You're looking at the glass as half empty. What is the deal with it? But if you think about it, it's an act of wonderful optimism. Right. It's just, here's a hole. Oh, look, I'm just going to stick my dick through it. Who knows what's going to happen? I've been good.
Yeah. I mean, there could be a guillotine on the other side, for Christ's sake.
Exactly. Or Condoleezza Rice.
Yes.
It's terrible.
Horrifying.
But it's an act of wonderful optimism and faith in the world.
Yeah, we all just pretend that George Michael's the other side of that wall.
And sometimes he is.
Sometimes, statistically speaking, you're going to be right at some point.
Sometimes it is.
Even at the Kyneton Caravan Park.
It's a wonderful little ritual.
But it is quite a thing, the anonymous gay sex. I think it is probably time to delve into the Carrie Bickmore experience.
Ooh, yes, let's.
Because, let's scratch the surface.
I think we do talk a lot about promiscuity in this show. And, you know, kind of...
It has come up once or twice.
You know, having sex with people you don't know or care about. so we should talk about some of the consequences.
Mm. It's true.
So let's get back on board with Colin Batruni from the Victorian AIDS Council.
A resident sexpert.
I love a sexpert.
It's like a sextacular.
I would rather not die on vacation. I'd rather die on stage with all my fans.
Podcast. Yes, we are talking to Colin Batruni from the Victorian AIDS Council, and he has a very important message for us about PEP, which, what does it stand for, P-E-P?
It stands for post-exposure prophylaxis, which means post, of course, after the fact, and exposure meaning after you've been exposed to HIV, and prophylaxis is just basically medicine.
Colin, you got to step back a bit. What the fuck are you talking about? I have literally no idea of this term. Someone said, we're going to call Colin about PEP, and I thought it was a promotion for a soft drink or something. I have no idea what you're talking
something
about.
Something a little fresh in your breath.
Is this another sex thing?
I'm afraid so.
Yes.
But not just sex, it could be drugs too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right. No, I'm back. I'm listening.
Okay. So basically, if people have a bit of a slip up or they find that they've inadvertently exposed themselves or they think they've exposed themselves to HIV, then what they actually need to get PEP, and they need to get PEP pretty quickly because you need to access it within 72 hours, but of course you need to do it as soon as possible. So basically you just say, excuse me, I think you're kind of like lying on my jocks there. I've just got to go because I've got to go and ring up 1-800-889-887 and find out if I can get some PEP because I'm not too sure about you.
Right.
Okay, so if you have unsafe sex or you share a fit or something like that and you think you're in danger, is it specifically HIV or is it everything like, you know, hepatitis or commitment or anything? You know,
is it a prophylaxis for commitment?
Is it specifically HIV?
It is specifically HIV.
Then you go and you take a pill and you don't have HIV anymore.
No, it's not like
the morning after pill. It's not
flushing
out some babies you don't want.
not like pouring salt on the red wine spear.
Trade out. No,
it's like 28 morning after pills. You've got to take it for 28 days.
Whoa. And there are pretty full-on side effects, aren't there? So like we prefer prevention rather than cure.
Yes.
Well, we don't want to scare people off. There can be side effects, but they really manage those pretty well these days. So,
You know what? There's quite a few side effects of having HIV.
Yeah. And 28 days as opposed to the rest of your life.
Yeah, probably a pretty good
trade-off.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people, the last bit of social research that I saw, I know you're not supposed to mention the word research in these little chats with you bookies, because you don't really understand what it is.
I know, because Scott's eyes glaze over and he starts to masturbate.
Do we have one of those beep buttons when people swear? Can we just...
Beep. Colin, just rephrase it. Just say it. So anyway, I was talking to someone who's a boyfriend of a hairdresser who was saying to them.
Yeah, saying to them that only 50% of gay men know about PEP.
Yeah, now that's something surprised me. Like, a lot of people don't know that it even exists, that it is something
I didn't know.
See, Toby didn't know.
But then again, I've been married for 10 years. I think the last time I had sex was 2002.
I think this program is a testament to the fact that there's an awful lot of dumb gay men out there.
Yeah. I'm right here!
Oh, you say the sweetest things, Colin.
Oh, wow.
So basically, it's administered in a hospital. Is it a doctor?
Well, you go down to the Alfred, who have the best.
That's in Melbourne. What if you're in Queensland?
What if you're in Queensland?
What if you're in country Queensland and, you know, some guy's just done you up the shitter at the toilets in the park?
At the back of the Ipswich caravan.
And you've reached around and gone, oh, that Frank is gone. What's going on?
Well, what if you're a country and that happens to you and then you go to the country doctors and it's the doctor who is doing you up the shitter? That'd be really awkward.
We don't want to go that hypothetical.
Well, you know, I think that if he bulk bills, that shouldn't be a problem. But I think
he bulk bills.
So how, other than ringing that number, how else do we know who's got access to PEP?
Well, you can go to www.getpep.info, and that gives you access points for PEP and other places other than the Alfred Hospital.
Right.
But you can pretty much turn up to any hospital, can't you, and just say, I need PEP.
You can, but we've heard some horror stories. Some people go up and they say, well, I've just had unsafe sex and I think I need PEP, and the nurses are sometimes even more intensely stupid than the gay men.
Oh,
what do you mean? Why don't you come back next week?
Oh no.
But that wouldn't be common. That would be the exception.
I think that is the exception. But really, if you ring that number, they will also be able to give you access points near where you live. So if you're unfortunate enough to be living in rural Queensland.
Oh, some people love it out there. It's nice. Yes, the weather's beautiful.
Yes.
They might bump into David from Big Brother, the farmer.
Yes.
Yeah, some people wear fucking UGG boots in summer.
Does he still live there?
Probably. I don't know. He's got to live somewhere.
Yeah.
So if you call that number, 1-800-889-887, that number again, 1-800-889-887, then they will be able to give you location near where you live.
They'll tell you what to do.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome.
Hey, listen, can I ask another stupid, gay-tarded question?
Is there any way you couldn't?
I don't think there is. I'm so stupid about this sort of stuff. It's like I've walked off the set of, you know, a 1950s educational film. I don't know anything about anything.
Toby pretty much came out of the closet and went into a monogamous relationship, so he has no idea.
I have no idea. No. Like, I've heard about oral sex.
Toby, it's hard out there, okay? It's hard out there in the real world.
But anyway, Toby, ask your question.
This is my stupid question, right? Like, we've got this this PEP stuff. I understand that there's a lot more treatments for people living with HIV. There's drugs you can take and stuff. Have we fixed it yet? Like, is AIDS over or is it still a thing?
Okay, AIDS is still a thing, unfortunately, and I think that the basic take-home message is that treatments have really improved and vastly kind of extended the lives of people with HIV, but they're not perfect, and as we said before, they are prone to some side effects. But look, the bottom line is no one wants HIV.
Yeah. Pretty,
no one's lining up saying, oh,
hang on, I'm making a note of that. I'm writing it down.
Yeah, no one is.
don't, bad. Don't get it. Don't get it.
But there's not a stand at the art fair saying, oh, here's some HIV.
There's not a lady in a coat in Coles handing out little morsels of HIV cheese on toothpicks.
On toothpicks,
It's not like there's a safe infecting room in a King's Cross.
Right.
Would you like a sample? Would you like to be bred?
So, no one wants that, and this is a way to avoid it.
So still take it seriously.
Absolutely. To infinity and beyond, come
into your arms. Poofcast. Now, the reason we're at the Cotton Caravan Park in this particular Poofcast,
I must say the facilities are very good.
Yeah, I've just come back from the toilets, and it was really nice.
And busy?
Yep.
We have Wes Snelling,
hi,
man diva, and nephew/manager of Tina Del Twist.
Wes. Well, welcome back, Wes. It's great to have you back on the Poofcast.
It's so good to be here.
Oh, you've gone all Kyneton on us, haven't you?
Oh, totally. Going back to my roots.
Well, you grew up in the Kyneton Caravan Park, did you not?
This is correct.
You are the Sally of Kyneton.
It's true. Yes, boobs and all.
What was that like? Because I'm totally urban. I'm afraid of the country. If I don't have, as soon as I drop a bar of mobile reception, I have a panic attack.
So you must hate Thornbury.
Wow.
Thornbury's where the lesbians live, people interstate.
I can't imagine, you know, not being in a city and having, you know, buildings and things to do all the time.
Yeah.
Or is that a stereotype?
Yeah, no, but it is. Well, the caravan park was a thriving community. You know, I mean, it was like a little city all of its own.
So like a little New York.
Yeah, totally.
And you worked in the kiosk, which is like the lifeblood, the heartbeat.
Absolutely. And there were lots of permanents that lived there. There were lots of people.
Oh, so it was their house. It was where they lived.
Oh, yeah. It absolutely. Wasn't just, but caravans. But, in caravans, not in a house.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yes, no, but lots of people. Actually, I spoke to my father yesterday. He told me 98 permanents were there when we were there.
Oh, wow. My God.
That's a lot. Also, there are lots of people building the bypass to go past Kyneton, so people didn't really have to go there anymore.
But, you know. Tick achieved.
Yeah.
Next agenda item.
Is there anything in Kyneton anymore? Is it?
Oh, it's now it's hyper ballad. It's so, no, it's completely. It is completely.
Wow, I didn't think that we could actually be outgayed, but I think it just happened.
It's Kyneton's like a groovy day trip. You go there and you buy your organic quince paste from, you know, the lesbian Reiki massage at the butcher's.
Tonya Todman lives there.
Tonya Todman?
Yes.
I think I just saw her down at the showers.
Yeah. She's the engine of the tea towel economy in Kyneton.
So for people interstate, where exactly is Kyneton in Victoria?
Kyneton is about an hour out of Melbourne towards Bendigo.
So Goldfields.
Yes.
Right.
Mineral Springs, Kyneton Mineral Springs. Oh. There's Kyneton Mineral Water.
Oh, the drink. I know the Kyneton fizzy water.
Yes.
I like that. They do a lemon and lime that's quite tasty.
Oh, nice.
I know.
It's up near Dalesford.
Right, where the lesbians are.
That's right.
The country lesbian.
But do you know what? Like some of those places like caravan parks or like, you know, weird regional towns like Darwin's like this, like they're actually quite cosmopolitan because people are in caravan parks for a reason. You know, everyone's got a story. No one sets out. I'm generalising. Perhaps they do. But, I don't think that people are sitting around going, I'm going to save up and buy a caravan in Kyneton.
I disagree.
Really?
Actually, I do disagree. Well, just because a lot of people, I mean, I was talking about this recently because the caravan park, even though we're there now, has recently closed down.
Oh. We're on the site of the caravan park. I thought it was
busy. Well, we can still access it, obviously.
Right.
They had to knock it down to build this digital radio studio.
Yeah. but the permanents that were there are quite. They've shipped them off into one bedroom apartments, and they chose. I mean, it's not that much cheaper to live in a caravan.
I suppose not.
And so the choice of living in a caravan is to have that community atmosphere and feel, and have kind of be part of a bigger. Even though
also to have someone to blame like for cleaning the toilet.
That's true.
Mm. Yes. That's a good point. Much less vacuuming.
Yeah,
in way a caravan. Less vacuuming. You just sort of hose it out, don't you?
Spray and wipe.
Yes.
What am I doing? I'm dust busting the J-Co.
Now, Wes, can I ask you, because Kyneton is, you know, a fairly small town, is it hard being gay in the country? Like, you know, when you're starting to come to a realisation of your sexuality?
It was then, yeah. I think it's easier now. But I, like, hard as in finding people of your own ilk.
Yes.
You know, hard as in I didn't know anybody who was like me at all, like effeminate.
There was no internet.
Mm. Yeah, there was no internet. And, you know, I have two brothers who played footy and went to the pub every weekend. And, you know, I was just the weird little fat kid.
Who was, you know, so was fat a euphemism for poofter back then? I was the weird little fat kid too.
I think Toby's a little cuddly. One too many iced vovos.
Yes. Once he hit puberty, he really stacked it on.
And so when did you leave the country? To go to the big city and become a dancer. When did that happen?
It's funny you say that, Toby, because what did you do when you left the country?
I went and studied contemporary dance.
I knew it. I don't have gaydar, but I've got amazing VCA-dar.
So when I was 17 and a half.
Wow. And so were you just like hanging out to leave? It was just as soon as I can, I'm getting the hell out of here?
Absolutely. Right. I'd had a taste. My parents had got divorced and my mum was living in Melbourne, so every school holidays I'd spend in Melbourne. So I kind of had a taste of the big
city. That's not a uniquely country thing. Like, you know, I left home in Chadston when I was, you know, first chance
But the beauty of growing up in the country was there was lots of space to play doctors and nurses, you know what I mean?
Ah. Well, look, that's what I look for.
Yeah.
That Peter and I are going on holiday later in the year, and our number one priority is does the hotel have room to play doctors and nurses? That's what I want in a lifestyle. You know what? I hate playing doctors and nurses in a cramped space. You know, if you're in a lift or a crawl space or something, and it's like, oh, nurse, pass me the inspection stick, and, you know, and the elbow's in the way, and it's just, you need to stretch wide open spaces for your doctors and nurses.
Doctors and nurses was a euphemism.
Oh, really? I was picturing, like, during that whole rant, I was picturing how you would play doctors and nurses where you'd need room for a run-up.
Don't impress me. I'm part of the GLTBIDN community.
So was there a lot of doctors and nurses being played when you were...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Lots.
Right.
Yeah, there was. I remember in primary school I had this friend who was...
Sick.
We had a really good time. It was very sick. He moved away to Maui and I was mortified.
Maui.
Oh, no.
Yes. I think his parents moved away on purpose.
Away from the chubby kid.
Yeah. The chubby kid down at the caravan park.
Who keeps bringing over his thermometer.
I did used to just go over to his place so I could dress up in his sister's clothes. Because I didn't have a sister.
That's fair.
And my mum had moved away, so there was no feminine clothes.
That seems perfectly logical to me.
Dresses.
So is it like, do you think you've got a different kind of perspective on being gay because, you know, you didn't have access like the rest of us probably would have growing up in a city?
I'd be hesitant. I don't know. I don't know because I think no matter where you are, there's issues with growing up gay.
It wasn't like, you know, there was there was more homophobia that you could see or that was prevalent. Because, you know, us, you know, insulated city poofs, we were like, oh, the country, it's full of fag bashers.
Yeah.
We all assume that. But
I was really lucky that I had two older brothers who were really respected in the town, I think. And because I was looked upon as the weird little boy. Like, you know, there was definitely something
going on there.
And I think my brothers stood up for me quite a bit and, you know, were like bouncers. Kind of. They took
Sorry,
me to the
mate.
Pub for the first time.
Not in those shoes.
Around me. I remember I was getting picked on in year 7 and my older brother, Russ, went and had a talk to the guy in year 12 who was picking on me.
Oh, wow.
I said, you know, I'll come after you if you go anywhere near my brother.
Oh, you faggots bash my brother, I'll fucking drop you. Yeah, so just shut up, all right?
Thanks, yeah.
Thanks, Russ.
Oh, bless. Well, it's lovely. It's lovely to be visiting here in the Carlton Caravan. Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
We're going to go and drill a glory hole in between the shower and the toilet now.
It's already there.
Yeah.
Done that.
Is that one of your duties?
Yeah.
Making sure it was an unobstructed glory. Oh, someone's put toilet paper
and
in the glory hole.
It is funny, though, because I do remember being like liking going to the public toilets, even though I had one of my own. So it's. I think you are born with it.
Yeah. Honestly, I've just been in those toilets, and if we took a swab off that wall, we could clone you.
Oh, thank you very much, Wes Snelling.
Thanks, Wes.
Ta-da.
You know how I know you're gay?
How?
Your index finger smells like Rupert Everett.
Poofcast. Now, it's one thing to try and find love in the country, but Toby, overseas, you were telling us during the week that
I have been overseas. Did I mention I have been overseas?
God, here we go.
I've been overseas.
But there is a...
You don't speak English in America quite well.
Wow.
Can you please explain about this scene in WeHo?
The crazy scene in Hollywood.
West Hollywood, where all the homos live.
Because I was talking last week about, you know, going to gay bars in New York and Montreal and everywhere, and Hobart and everywhere else. I didn't go to a gay bar in Los Angeles.
No.
Wow.
Didn't have to.
Ah, right.
Because all the action in LA, or in Hollywood where I was, is at the Starbucks. Crazy scene at the Starbucks.
Hyped up on coffee.
I actually went there at first for a coffee.
Yeah,
and then
like you do.
And then rapidly realised my mistake. And then everybody here it's the man staring at me. It was like it was like a Starbucks, but just like that sauna thing.
Right.
Walking around, goes, something new. It was the most all day, every day, middle of the day. You just go to Starbucks, get a latte, sit in the on the footpath, and cruise each other.
Cruise, great. Yeah, wow. Oh my god.
I mean, look, in fairness,
Scott would hate that because he really relies on the darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be there in a burqa.
Yeah, it was the damnedest thing I ever saw. In fairness, I was wearing nothing but a towel while I was in the
office. And taking that spa with you was a great idea.
That was a big move. But yeah, it's all about Starbucks. Yeah.
That is bizarre.
Wow. I'll have a double grande frappuccino and that guy.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I've actually been to gay bars in West Hollywood.
Yes.
On WeHo. Santa Monica, in WeHo, on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Monica Boulevard is the strangest street in the world.
Oh, it's the gays, there's a patch of it that is just, it's like distilled gay. If you were to make a perfume called gay, you would squeeze Santa Monica Boulevard to get it out.
It is the gayest thing. It would smell like
anal nectar. Oh my God, but they love, and I met this guy and made friends with this guy, and he said, oh, well, come out tomorrow night. I'm meeting some friends, you know, because I was in town for a few days. And so he said, I'm meeting some friends. Come and meet us for a drink tomorrow night. I said, okay. And meet us for a drink basically meant going from bar to bar to bar to bar, just looking at go-go boys.
Oh, and my God, go-go boys.
They love their go-go boys over there.
Yeah.
See, and we don't have enough of that here.
Well, the thing is, the good thing about being in America is that, you know, you tip go-go boys and you can put money down their pants and have a little bit of a grope. And I actually got a photo of one of their cocks because I said, here, can I give you that? Yeah, sure. And I got a photo of his cock. But they have dollar notes there. And, like, I can't imagine go-go boys in this. And so it's very easy to tip a dollar to a go-go boy.
Oh, here, but the minimum in would
Australia,
be five.
Well, exactly. In Australia.
And it's plastic. You might get a paper cut.
Yeah. But imagine, like, someone on the stage, you know, on the bar dancing in, like, a massive nappy jiggling with coins. It just wouldn't work.
It'd be like playing the pokies. Yeah. At some stage, it's going to burst.
There's only so many you can fit in that slot.
And Scott's trying.
Yeah. Oh, believe me. Yeah, just punch me in the back of the head and I'll give you change for the cigarette machine.
You know, actually, I tell a lie. I did go to one gay bar in LA. And it was weird because they stopped serving booze at 3, but the club stays open.
Yeah, there
to like 6 or whatever.
But that's that weird thing.
Like you're meant to stand around enjoying the fucking atmosphere.
No, they don't drink that much over there. I found that really weird. I went over for the Oscars and went to like a.
Did you win?
Yeah, I won best actress. It was I went to like a Miramax party and there was Leonardo DiCaprio was there and Kate Blanchett. Oh, Clive Owen, hot. And, you know, Pierce Brosnan was there. And I went up to the bar and they went, yeah, no, we've run out of alcohol. I'm like, what? You're having a sit down dinner from like, yeah, we've catered enough. This is, you know, but no one was demanding anymore. And they had one glass of wine.
I
went,
well,
what about
story.
That glass of wine there? And they go, oh, that's for Mr. Pierce Brosnan. I went, yeah, that's why I'm here. I said I'd give it to him. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah, well, you go and take that. They're so trusting in LA.
Oh,
so they gave me the wine and I turned around and Pierce was coming towards me.
Oh,
and
no.
And I thought, fuck, 007's going to pop a cap in my ear. So I go running away and sculling this wine when no one can see me.
No one drinks
over there. It's because they're all crazy macrobiotic diets.
Yeah, it's all full-on fitness.
Health. I think we, as a nation, have a drinking problem.
Yeah, I think we are a drinking problem.
I don't think there's anything wrong. I'm doing everything I can.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with Lindsay Lohan. I think she's in rehab for having maybe had like 4 shandies.
You think she's just in the wrong country?
Yeah. Move here, Lindsay. We'll show you a good time.
Yeah.
We'll not even touch the sides. We'll take you to Geelong and you will see things that you don't even have names for in America. We will show you boozing.
Bring it on.
He's looking for a boy.
Poster, eh? Little
Poofcast. Right at the bottom of the Poofcast, time for community
board. Bottom.
See what you did there?
Yeah.
Very classy. I know we have been talking a lot about Country Victoria and Daylesford, and
it's been very refreshing. The
you'll never guess who's moving to Daylesford.
Who?
Bitsy,
our lesbian correspondent.
When's your settlement? Right, okay, yeah.
What's that? You're opening a Reiki massage in a butcher's shop. Oh, that's very Daylesford.
Oh, yeah.
Very Daylesford.
She's a very good German Shepherd.
She is.
She's lovely. Absolutely.
Nice furry pelt.
Now, it is also time for Gaydar of the Week. Justin_19-year-old.
Oh, great.
Which was a lot of foresight because he's now 27.
Oh. Been on there for a while.
He's been trolling Gaydar for 9 years.
Yeah.
Bless him. Bless 27 him. Years
Just
old.
Shows it really works, doesn't
he's,
it?
He's in Brisbane and his, you know, the little sentence you have under your name.
Yeah, your little, profile, little yes. slogan.
Yeah.
Turn your back on it all.
Oh, okay. Oh, I think sure. I can see where this is going.
Yeah, that's also your profile.
That's my mantra. I've actually...
Turn
got that
your back
tattooed.
On them all.
Yeah.
about intelligent, attractive, easygoing. He's looking for class and under
Hang
hobbies.
Hang on. No, 19. No, he's not 19. So no, he's looking for A class.
No, he's looking for class, but this is my favourite bit. His hobbies and favourite things. Food.
Hang on. Is this a list of hobbies or things that keep you alive?
No, you have to fill them in, but the only one he's filled in is food. There's like, they give you all these prescribed
Oh, right,
ones.
Yeah, yeah. Like you fill in the blanks.
Yeah,
what's
the only
his favorite
one he's
food?
Filled in is food.
Oh, God, here we go.
He's looking for class. His favourite food is crumbed chicken. Because nothing says
That's
class
it.
Like crumbed chicken. Not any kind, not a wing ding, not a nugget.
No.
Crumbed chicken.
You know what, Justin_19, I'm trying to find the upside here. I'm trying to... There's got to be a context in which Princess Stephanie of Monaco is
just
sitting down with Prince Harry. What should we do today? Let's get some crumbed chicken. Get some. More crumbs. I have a parma. I have a parmesan. Oh. I can't.
There is nothing better than crumbed chicken.
That is great.
Well, we should probably move on to Melinda Buttle and the top or bottom.
Let's find out.
In my butt, in my butt. Let's do in the butt. Okay.
All right, it is time for top or bottom. And we do have Melinda Buttle on the blower. As you were. Hey, Mel. Now, we do have possibly one of the most world-famous couples in the entertainment industry for you.
You haven't missed a trick so far. You've been able to pick the top and the bottom in every couple, but this is difficult.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm quite interested to hear what you've got to say about this one.
Look, I don't want to give you a hint, but on the day that Elton John and David Furnish got married, the Sun in London featured the headline, Elton takes David up the aisle.
That would have been a handy clue.
Yes.
And you weren't even sub-editing then.
No.
So there was nothing to do.
I think Mr. Humphreys was.
So Elton John, David Furnish, who is the top or bottom in rock and roll's most flamboyant relationship?
Well, with this one, I struggled. I did struggle a little. But I basically came to this I think this is the safest conclusion that I can come to and still be correct. And I think I'm going to say these two, they're both actually bottoms, right?
Oh, right.
Uh-oh.
Mm. And basically at their house, there's a lot of deodorant cans just around the place.
with a lot of, like, wet wipes next to them. Just
deodorant cans.
And there's a lot of trips. You know, they're always up at the emergency room saying, oh, I was just cleaning in my socks, nurse, and I just fell back down on the can of vagina.
Deodorant cans? I mean, look, fair enough, any port in a storm, but that is just ridiculous. There are websites, Elton. There's no need.
Yeah, surely you can afford the correct accoutrement.
Yeah, I mean, look, everyone needs to freshen up a little bit, but you know, sticking Norska into your colon is just, that's a step too far.
So are you implying that because of their age, they're just going solo with various household implements?
What I think is they've just got deodorant cans strapped to their lounge chairs and they just sit down on that and enjoy
like so one of those couches you find at Harvey Norman with the cup holder in it.
So it's not so much a Jason recliner, it's more of an Elton inserter.
So when they're sitting at home watching TV, it's like they're on a boat. They're just gently rocking.
Look, you know what? I have some sympathy with that. I've been married for 10 years. I could do with one of those chairs.
All right.
Like that chair.
I'll make you one.
Okay.
Like that chair that George Clooney makes.
Yeah, all I'm saying is, yep, you don't have to cuddle a bottle of Lynx afterwards. Am I right, girls? Am I right? Do you feel me?
You don't have to find cab fare for it to get it out of your house.
No.
Thank you so much, Melinda Buttle.
You're very welcome.
I'm just going to go to Freedom and just maybe they have something in stock.
I'm just going to pop down to the 7-Eleven and get myself some, you know. some spray on. Sport. Yes.
Do you know what it's just reminding me of? It's reminding me of those old, uh-oh, Razzum attack.
Oh, top or bottom for another week. It's been controversial.
All three of these men are gay.
I'm really disturbed by that one.
A little bit
scared. Yeah, that was a little little confront. But she speaks the truth.
She speaks the truth.
Can't fight facts. Can't
Now, I do have, before we go, I do have a letter. Oh. From, I know, hilarious letter. Oh. Or it was an email. From one of our listeners. You can email us at poofcast, poofcast at talkingpoofy.com.au. Well, Rich in Sydney emailed us. He he's a lovely way with words. He says, there was an afternoon at Ken's of Kensington. Famous sauna in Sydney.
Yes.
Where after hanging around for a few hours, getting to know the gloss level of the quarry tiles intimately, a hottie trolls up with towel askew and a leery smile to match.
Oh, he's quite the words.
Yes.
Isn't he? Sounds like a Banjo Patterson poem.
Several moments later, there's the fumble. Impromptu passion and rearranging of the gym mat to find the fresh side.
Oh, oh, we all know that one.
Oh, you want it to feel like the first time every time, don't you?
God bless you.
Then there follows a truly terrible stench. Like those stories of Gramps about when the dunny man had an up and over in the back line. Looking down, there's an enormous fresh turd.
Oh,
Merry Christmas.
And a plaintive, pleading look on the ex-hottie's face.
Ex-hottie.
To say, but I made it for you.
No, I'm not clear. Was this an inadvertent turd? Was this an inadvertent turd? Or was this
a deliberate
thing?
I really don't know. It's possibly like the time where Scott Brennan went to one of these clubs
and here we go.
Someone said to him while investigating his nether regions, what did they say, Scott?
You're not clean.
Oh.
And when I checked, I really wasn't.
So thank you to Rich of Sydney for giving us a reason to tell that story.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We've got more for you next week on the podcast.
It's not clean.
Not clean.
Mr. Humphries, leave my pussy alone.
I just went gay all of a sudden.
It's funny because it's true.
You sound gay. You look gay. You're gay.
Poofcast.
Well, now we've got that sorted out, can we get on?
Poofcast.